Hi, this is Pastor Mike Weinbrenner. I want to thank you for listening to this sermon from Christ Fellowship. I hope and pray that this sermon will be a blessing of grace and truth to you. But with that said, let me encourage you not to use this sermon as a replacement for your local church. Christ Jesus did not establish his church simply for us to consume content. Instead, he calls us to be a part of a real covenant family. If you'd like to know more about Christ Fellowship, please visit cfpca.org. And again, thanks for listening.
So we're going to take a pause on our series from Luke for this morning. We're going to be in Philippians 3, 12 through 16, maybe a somewhat familiar passage. Titled Straining Towards the Goal. It's also, it's titled Pressing On, Pushing Forward. And so I feel this passage this morning because I went to a concert late last night in St. Louis. Got up at 5 a.m. and drove here this morning, expecting to relax in church. But here we are, and so we're pressing on. And you guys may be pressing on as you listen to this because I had a little preparation time. But I know the Lord's faithful, and he'll work through his word. And so we're blessed by that. So let's go ahead and you can turn there with me, Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And so this passage, I think it forces us to ask two questions that are relevant to our lives. The first one, why do we press on in our faith? And the second one, how do we press on in our faith? So what keeps us going? Because I know we all seek to obey God. We seek to walk in faithfulness. And I think a lot of times we can kind of go on autopilot where we're doing what we know is right, but we're not really thinking about why we're doing what is right. I think oftentimes we forget to examine our heart behind our obedience. And we also kind of forget how to obey. What does obedience really mean right now? What does trusting in God really mean right now in my life? And so I think these are good questions for us to ask. And I think they're questions that we're always asking to some degree when we are struggling in life. I think hardship and trials often bring these questions up in our minds and really make us evaluate where's my heart at right now. Where is God in the midst of this, especially in suffering and even our battle against our own sin, I think forces us to ask these questions. And so these are good questions to ask, but they also have good answers that we find in God's Word. And really, when we turn to God's Word, that's where we see why we press on in our faith, and that's also where we see how to press on in our faith. And I think that's kind of what Paul's getting at here this morning. I think the two answers Paul gives us is that we press on, one, because Christ has already claimed us as his own, and also we press on by knowing that Christ awaits us. That's how we press on, knowing Christ awaits us, and we press on because he has already claimed us. And so just some context for this passage, and some of the verses before, Paul, in Philippians 3, 1 through 11, basically, Paul explains that he has righteousness that is found in Christ through faith. So he has obtained righteousness in Christ. And this righteousness that he has in Christ has given him a desire to know Christ more, to know Jesus more fully, and to pursue him in resurrection life. And this is what Paul's talking about in verse 12, that he has not already obtained this, that he's not already perfect. And so he's saying, I have the righteousness of Christ, but I haven't obtained the perfection that I'm called to in Christ. I haven't reached the resurrection yet where I know him fully and fully understand him. And so Paul, he's been made righteous, but he's not perfect yet. And so he's still striving forward. And I think all of us can agree with Paul on this point, that we're not perfect yet, that we all still fall short every day. And if you're like me, you're frustrated by that we're not perfect already. But the desire to be perfect is a good desire. And it's actually what God calls us to as Christians. He calls us to perfection. So it's a good desire to have, to be without sin. It's what God calls us to eventually in Christ. But we also know that it's not a perfection we can attain in this life. We know that we still have a flesh that we battle with. We see that the world isn't perfect yet, that God hasn't made all things new. And so there's still suffering, there's still sin that we have to wrestle with and we have to push through in this life. I think that's why Paul, he compares the Christian life to running a race. He's running as hard as he can to gain the prize of the resurrection, of finally coming to the point where he knows Jesus fully and understands him. And at first, this was kind of hard for me to understand as I was reading this text, especially when we look at the previous section, is when Paul, he counts all of his previous striving, so all of his previous pressing on as rubbish. He calls it garbage, he calls it meaningless, referring to when he was still a Jew and still taking pride in his status and his striving. He counts it all as rubbish. But now he's explaining how hard he presses on. And so it almost seems contradictory that when he was a Jew, he was pursuing righteousness by his own efforts, trying to be righteous and all that he did. And now that he's a Christian, he's saying, look, all of that striving was meaningless, but I'm still pressing on in obedience. And he's still striving forward. And so he's still pushing on in his faith, but it's for a different reason. In fact, if we look at the Greek word that he uses for press on is actually the same word that he uses earlier in this text, in verse 6, for persecutor. So the same word for pressing on and persecutor is used here. And I think he uses these words intentionally to compare his previous life with his current life now. And so used to, he would press on by persecuting the church. He would try to make himself righteous by persecuting those who he thought were blaspheming God, right? And so he was pressing on in that way. But now he has a complete reversal, where now Paul pressing on means that he's actually enduring the suffering that he used to cause the church. And so we have a complete reversal to where Paul, he's pressing on in his faith, enduring the persecution that he once caused. And we have the question of why. So what has caused this reversal in Paul's obedience? And when we look at the text, we see that it's Christ himself. We see that Jesus, he has made Paul his own, and he has completely reversed the way that Paul is striving. And so if you think of a race, you can almost think of Paul, he's running backwards in his old life of persecution. And Jesus, he's now claimed him, turned him around, and now he's running in the right direction. And he's running towards Jesus himself. And so that's the reversal that we see, and that's also the reversal that we have in Christ. When we realize that Jesus has claimed us as his own. So I think we can all look back in our lives and see before we knew Jesus, we were striving on as well. And so we were pressing on, but that pressing on, that obedience, it was made in an effort to gain our own righteousness. I think before we know Christ and before we know and come to faith in him, we still try to be a good person most of the time, right? We know non-Christians that still try to be good people. And when we see them, we see that at their heart, in the heart of their obedience, really what's happening is they're trying to justify themselves. That's what was going on with Paul. He was trying to justify himself through his own works. And that's what we try to do as well before we know Jesus. We try to cleanse ourselves. We try to make ourselves perfect. But Paul counts that as rubbish, right? He counts it as meaningless because we don't have that ability. But now, when we come to know Christ and we trust in his righteousness, we have a difference in our striving. We know that we're already righteous, and so we're no longer pursuing our justification because we have that in Jesus. We're now just pressing forward in order to know Christ, because he has claimed us as his own. And so this phrase, made me his own, it means seize. Paul's saying that Christ has seized me. He has grasped me and claimed me. So there's a tone of assurance and there's a tone of security in this identity that we have in Jesus now. We see the security in John 10, where Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Paul, he also tells the Philippians in chapter 1, he says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." And so now when we come to know Christ, we know that nothing can tear us from his grip, that Jesus, he has claimed us, and that we are secure and we are held in him. And so just like Paul, Jesus, he has redeemed our striving. And now our obedience, it comes empowered by his Spirit, because we know that we don't have a righteousness of our own. We rest in the righteousness of Christ on our behalf. And that's why we strive forward. We live in praise and we live in thankfulness to God and to Jesus for what he has done for us on our behalf. And so we continue to press on. Paul, he's made the Philippians aware of this dynamic earlier in chapter 2, verse 12, when he says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And so this brings up kind of a common question that we have when we come to the security that we have in Christ, which is, why do we press on when we already know that our salvation is sure in Jesus, when we know that we're held firm in Jesus himself? So it may seem hard to comprehend, but I think when we dig into this, we actually see that the sovereignty of God, the assurance we have in him, it actually frees us to press on. It actually frees us to seek obedience and seek knowledge of Jesus as we go forward. I think it's helpful to think of this in military terms, of pressing on in military terms, because that's what it is. That's the terminology that Paul uses. And so think about just two armies. I think oftentimes we see in movies, there's a small group of soldiers that's outnumbered by the enemy, right? And they're outnumbered, they're facing down the enemy, and their leader, they give an inspirational speech to their soldiers saying, "Look, we need to rally. We need to go fight to our death and go face the enemy." And I would like to think that I would be one of those brave soldiers that answered this call and went out and fought to my death. But I'm fearful that I might be a little hesitant to, if we're so outnumbered and when death, it seems so imminent, especially when you're just overwhelmed by surrounding forces, it's got to be hard to go and fight and go to press on. And I think this is kind of what we feel in our life sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we're outnumbered in our faith. When we look at the world around us, we see everything that's going on. We get fearful. We look at fearful life circumstances that we're in, the fear of the unknown. We wrestle with our own sin and our frustration with that. And I think oftentimes it feels like we're a soldier who's outnumbered by the enemy. And it's hard to press on. But I think what we have with Jesus here is we have an assurance of victory. And this victory gives us hope to press on. Knowing that Jesus, he has already achieved this victory on our behalf, it gives us hope to go out into the world and to seek to obey him. If we know that the fight is secure in Jesus, if we know that we have a sure victory in him, then we're going to want to go and fight because we have this hope that this victory rests in Jesus. And we trust that Jesus, he's triumphed over death, he's triumphed over sin and the devil. When we believe and trust in this, we know that nothing will tear us from the grasp of Jesus as we fight. All of this actually frees us up to go and to pursue him, to go and love him, to love others, because we know that we're secure in him. We know that our failure won't remove his love from us. And so this is really what frees us to go pursue faithfulness in our lives, is knowing the faithfulness of Jesus. We see this in his word from John 11, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" So we're called to faith. We're called to faith in this, knowing that our life, it's held secure, it's held firm in Jesus, who is our life, our resurrection life. So this is why we press on. We press on because we know that we're claimed by Jesus. We know that we're held secure in him, and we have freedom to continue in our life. But this also brings up the question of how. So how do we fight, and how do we press on in this Christian life? How do we run this race, knowing that we're secured in the hands of Jesus? I think if we look at verses 13 and 14 here, Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul, he gives two things that we can do here. One is forgetting what lies behind and also looking forward to what lies ahead. And so when we think about forgetting what lies behind, Paul, he has two things that he needs to forget about. And so the first thing that he needs to forget about is his persecution as an enemy of the church. He needs to forget all of the horrible things that he's done to the church in order to continue on in his mission. He needs to forget all the evil that he's done, all the sin that he's done. But he also needs to forget all of his accomplishments as an apostle, because he's already done a lot for the church so far as an apostle. He's planted churches, he's shared the gospel, he's baptized people. And so he has a lot that he could be proud of and take pride in. But Paul, he says that he forgets all of this. He forgets all of his sin, he forgets all of his accomplishments, and he just looks forward to what lies ahead. And so for us, I think we have that same dynamic that we need to forget. We need to forget all of the sin that we've committed. We don't need to forget the grace of God that he's shown us, but we need to not linger on our sin and go into despair. Because that's really what will happen. The more we look back and see how much we have fallen, we see our sin, then it gets really discouraging and really hard to press forward. But the grace of God, it allows us to move on from that sin because Jesus has paid for it. And he calls us to trust that he is our righteousness now, that our righteousness is not found in our own obedience. And so we need to forget the sin that seeks to define us, because it doesn't define us anymore. But we also need to forget our accomplishments as Christians. And we need to forget how well we've done as Christians. And we need to forget it in the sense that we don't identify ourselves by our good works. So I think it can also be easy for us to look at our life and see the good things that we've done and kind of just think, you know what, like, I've been doing pretty good recently. I think I'm good. Like, I think I'm okay. I don't think I really need to strive that much harder. I think I've been doing well. And so both of these things, they can lead to a stagnant faith where we don't really press forward. But when we forget our sin, when we forget our pride and our accomplishments, that's really what frees us to just go forward and know Christ and to pursue him and trust in him. Because both of those things, they slow us down. And so when Paul says the word strain here, when he talks about us pressing forward, he says strain. And so when he uses the word strain, so we're straining forward towards Christ, we're not looking back, we're straining towards towards him. What he means here is like, it's kind of like, it's an Olympic word for racing. And so he's like straining forward, pressing with everything you have, trying to cross the finish line. That's what Paul has in mind here. And so it's like complete and utter effort, like everything you have going forward. This is what the Christian life consists of. And so I think another analogy is helpful, a racing analogy, because that's kind of what Paul's talking about here, is straining forward like you're in a race. I know I've been running off and on, probably not as much as I should the past couple months, but I've been running some in our neighborhood. And so sometimes I ask myself, why do I run? Because I know that it's helpful for me physically. I know it makes me healthier. I know it's healthier for me mentally. I know like I'm able to work better, be better in my relationships. And so I know all these things. But in the midst of my run, when I'm just gasping for breath and my side hurts, the reason I'm running then is just so I can be done. Like I'm just running so I can reach my house and like sit down and drink water. That's why I'm running then. And so maybe sometimes you guys feel this in life. Like maybe you're just pressing forward, you're striving because you know that you're running a race which one day will end in the prize. You're going forward. It's hard to keep track of why you're pressing forward, why you're obeying God. But I think this is actually a really good motivation for us to have in our obedience and in our faith. Because in the midst of all of our circumstances going on around us, in the midst of all of our sin and all of our hardship and our fear of the future, sometimes it can get really hard to see why we're pursuing God and why we're trusting in Him. But I think this is a really helpful reminder that this isn't it. That the circumstances, the hardship, what you're going through right now, that's not all there is in life. That one day all of this suffering will be over. That one day all of this battling with your sin, all of this fear that you have, one day it will be over. And we can come to just know Jesus and rest in Him. And so that's really good motivation for continuing on. We see the promise of this prize in Revelation 21. We read that God, that He'll wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And so these are the blessings that await us, that we can enter into a rest, enter into a bliss and a trust, and a full knowledge and perfection in Jesus. That's what awaits us as we go forward. And so Paul, in verses 15 and 16, he says, "Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." And so we have this motivation of pressing forward in life, knowing that Jesus awaits us at the end. But we also press on knowing that we have already attained Jesus Himself, that we already have the righteousness of Christ that He's given to us through faith, that Jesus, He has already come, He has already laid down His life for our sins, He's already suffered for us so that we can come to know Him, that we can have the Spirit that empowers us to pursue faithfulness, pursue love of one another. Holding true to what we have attained, that's military language again, where Paul is saying this is like you're a soldier and you're in a rank alongside other soldiers and you're all keeping in step with the general who's leading you. And so that's kind of the imagery that we have here, that we're all soldiers walking alongside one another, lifting each other up, keeping us going forward, following Jesus in this life. And so that's what he calls us to hold on to. That's what he's given us in a church family that can encourage us as we are suffering and as we are pressing forward in our faith and seeking to serve God, knowing that we go alongside each other, resting in Jesus, resting in his work for us, and believing that he awaits us as our prize. So that's the hope we have. Let's trust and let's believe in that. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just come and we thank you just for Jesus and him coming and his sacrifice on our behalf. Just pray for encouragement, pray for hope in this life when it's hard to go on, that we just look forward and see that Jesus awaits us. I just pray that you strengthen us in the in the battle right now as we grow tired, just that you give us hope and give us encouragement. Let us rest in you. In your son's name I pray. Amen.